I just want to review the parables, not entirety, just the titles of the parables, okay? So maybe you can remember some of these and you'll remember what you learned from them. The first parable that we looked at was the parable of the hearers and the doers. The hearers and the doers. And that's a biblical principle that I'm sure you have been taught before, that we don't want to just be someone that listens and listens and listens and listens, although that's important, but then we want to take what we've been listening to and we want to do it. We want to apply it to our life. Application is so important in the Christian life. You know, I told someone today that I've been listening to Pastor Sexton now for many, many years, but in recent days more because of the class that I'm taking, and over again and in reading and hearing him teach, he talks about this point, don't speak to be heard, speak to be repeated. And by that, it means that as someone teaches you the Word of God, it isn't for you just to hold it into your heart and leave it there. It's for us to take and give to someone else. That's the doing of it. That's the passing it on. And then the second one we looked at was the sower. Remember that? The sower, and how we looked at the different types of soil that were there and all the different types of ground. And we looked at the seed, which is the Word of God, and the sower represented in that parable is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are sowers today. Those of us that are saved, we are to be out sowing the gospel seed. And speaking of that seed, we're up over 32,000 gospel tracts. I've got one here. Hard to believe I actually have a track here in the office. You may say, how is that? Because they come in and they get mailed out so quickly. Continue to pray about this. Hopefully on Thursday this week, we'll be able to drop some off. I'm not sure if the depot is open the day after Canada Day or not, but we'll try to get some of these out this week. As you're contributing to those, we want to thank you for that. Donations came in literally almost every day last week for that. A little bit here, a little bit there, big bit here, big bit there. And so we just give God the glory for it. But that's why we're doing this. Why? Because the seed of the Word of God is necessary in our day. And then we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the wheat and the tares. The wheat and the tares. And the wheat represents truly born-again people. And tares represents people that kind of look like a Christian, but they're not truly saved. And we are all growing up together here in this world. In that story, the lesson was that Jesus said, no, don't pull up the tares because you might rip out the wheat. We'll just have to wait. And it's talking about waiting until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that is imminent. Then last week we looked at the grain of mustard seed. Remember that one? The grain of mustard seed. And that brings us to one verse. Now we'll look at others, but one verse today, Matthew 13, 33. And today the theme is the leaven hid in the meal. The leaven hid in the meal. Verse 33, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Okay? Leaven. Now, in the Bible, when we talk about leaven, it is mentioned at least 17 times. There may be some mentionings of it specifically, not specifically but indirectly, but as far as I can tell, there's 17 times in the New Testament, that is, that the word leaven or about leaven is mentioned. And each time that leaven is mentioned, it is mentioned in an evil or a negative or a sinful way. In other words, when leaven is introduced, it's not for the good, okay? It's not for our growth. It's for our digression, or it goes against what God would want us to do. So when we think of leaven, now there are some people that you read and they don't necessarily take that with this particular verse, but I'm not one of those. I believe that the majority would rule in this case, and if you want to say it that way. But so that's the one thing we want to look at before we get any further in there in this, is that leaven, it represents evil or an evil influence. Now, notice what this lady, this woman, the Bible says, puts it in three measures of meal. Three measures of meal. Now, I'm not going to turn to this, but it's going to come up on the screen here. In Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 6, we find the first mention of three measures of meal. Okay? You know what? I'm going to take that back, and I'm going to mark Matthew 13. Let's go back there quickly to Genesis 18, because I think it's important that we look at it. I think me just commenting on it isn't good enough. You need to see it with your own eyes, and I do too again. Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 1. Quickly here, the Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." This is to Abraham. "And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. Wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts, and after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant." And they said, "So do as thou hast said." Notice verse 6. "And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah," that's his wife, "and said, Make ready quickly," isn't that something? Make ready quickly. You know, I was reading that the other day, and I was thinking, Sarah didn't have a microwave back then, okay? And I'm just kind of imagining making it quickly, you know. How do you make it quickly? But anyway, three measures of fine meal, okay? Now remember, and he says, knead it and make cakes upon the earth. Just remember, verse 33 says, back in our text, and hid three measures of meal. And then we have in verse 6, three measures of fine meal. Genesis 18:6, and the reason why I give you this is because this measure of meal in Genesis 18:6 and the measure of meal in Matthew 13, we discover that it has a lot to do with our fellowship with God. Notice that's what's happening there. These men sent by God in Genesis chapter number 18. Okay, so now let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. I just wanted to show you the first mention of three measures of meal. And it is very important that when you see something for the first time in the Bible, that you take note of it, especially if it's mentioned again and again and again. And so we're tying the two of those together, and that's very, very important as we consider what takes place in one verse of Scripture, but other verses that we'll use it in application. So in Matthew 13, back to Matthew 13 and 33, so when we compare the significance of the measures of meal in Genesis 18 to the meal in Matthew 13, we discover that our fellowship with God is under attack. It's under attack. Now, the woman, let's see that. The Bible says that there was a woman. The woman in Matthew 13, 33 can be compared to the individual that is mentioned, individuals that are mentioned, the men that are mentioned in Jude verse 4. And we have that for you for time, okay? It's on the screen there. Notice what it says. "For there are certain men," and I'd underline these two words or make note of them if you haven't turned there, "crept in." Crept in. Now, when you think of the words crept in, I don't know what comes to mind, but I know what comes to mind for me. They don't want to be identified. They don't want to be seen. They're doing it secretively. They're doing it covertly. Stealth mode, so to speak. They're creeping in. And they're trying to surprise someone. If you've ever been surprised, you know what that's all about. Well, that's what's happening. Well, that same thing, I believe, is what we can compare to what we're reading here in Matthew 13, 33, that the woman took these measures of meal, and what did she do with them? She took leaven and hid it. Hid, H-I-D, Matthew 13, 33, covertly, surprisingly, so that it could not be seen. And so the woman here in Matthew 13, 33, I believe represents a false religious system, a false religious system. Her behavior is satanic. Her behavior is evil. Her behavior is deceitful. So as we consider that, it would seem to me that the attention is being placed on all those who profess, excuse me, on all those who profess to be Christians. Now, we've learned this at Anchor Baptist Church. There's a big difference between professing to be a Christian and possessing true biblical Christianity. There are many people that claim to be Christian who are not truly a part of biblical Christianity. In other words, they have adopted the term Christian into their life because of maybe whose family they were born into, because they like the cross as a symbol. Maybe they're part of a church, and so because I'm a part of a church, I'm a Christian. Now, we know that profess and possess are two entirely different words. And so, really, the truth to this lesson, this parable, is constantly be on spiritual guard. You cannot, and I cannot, let our spiritual guard down for a moment. We're going to look at three types of leaven today. Three types of leaven that we find even in 2020. Number one, go ahead to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to see, number one, the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees. Look at Matthew 16 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Okay? So, the leaven of the Pharisees is number one. By way of introduction on this point, truth is always under attack. Truth is always going to be under attack. There will never be a day when truth is allowed to continue to move forward without attack. Now, truth is going to move forward. Amen? The truth of the Word of God is always going to move forward, and the attack will not stop what God is going to accomplish and does accomplish through His Word. Truth is something that set you and I free today. Because of truth, we have been set free from the shackles of sin. Truth enables us to know how to go to heaven when we die. Truth is what sanctifies us and makes us more like Christ. So truth is always under attack. Truth is very important. So what is the leaven of the Pharisee? Okay, the leaven of the Pharisee is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Look over at Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 1, "In the meantime, there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon another. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, Beware ye of the what? Leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." There it is. The leaven of the Pharisee is hypocrisy. Okay, so what does hypocrisy mean? Now, I think we know some synonyms of the word hypocrisy. You may be able to come up with a definition. You might even come up with some of the same words that I have written down here. Hypocrisy is pretending to be something that you aren't. Pretending to be something. It actually comes from a word, hypocrisy comes from a word that means wearing a mask. Wearing a mask. Kind of like maybe someone who would have a costume on and they would be dressed up as somebody that they really aren't. It doesn't mean that they're hypocritical necessarily, but that's not who they are. They're just pretending to be someone that they really aren't. An actor, a pretender. I think that's a key word. The leaven of the Pharisee is hypocrisy. Now, this is the danger. This is the danger in 2020, or whatever the year is. It doesn't matter, by the way. This is the danger that is presented to us when we are asked to unite with everyone who claims to be Christian. There's a great danger in it. Now, you know what? I'm going to tell you this. With the best attitude and spirit I can say, and not to be anything else, just to say it like I'm thinking about it, I am for anyone and everyone that is preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching the Word of God. They may do things differently than we do. They may dot their I's a little differently and cross their T's a little bit differently, but they're preaching that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they're preaching that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life to heaven, and that God, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that the Bible is the Word of God, and so forth and so on. Again, they may be a little bit different in some areas than me, and I may not agree with them, they may not agree with me, but they are preaching the doctrine of salvation. We call it the soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. They're preaching that. And they're preaching many of the doctrines of the Word of God. exactly line upon line, precept upon precept again. They may just do things differently in different ways, preferences and things of this nature, and that's between them and the Lord, okay? But the bottom line is this: not everyone that is on the internet today and not everyone that is still on the radio or on the TV or wherever they are, or right here in Burnaby, BC, that has church on their door, not everyone is someone that I'm going to link up with. Not everyone is someone that we are going to work together to reach Burnaby and beyond for Christ. Why? Because not everyone that names the name of Christ is a true follower of Jesus Christ. In other words, whether they are doing it on purpose or not, they have ingested the leaven of the Pharisees. And so they have the look, they have some of the talk, but they are not truly born again. Here's a quote that I found. Tolerating a little leaven allows that leaven to leaven the whole lump. Did you see that in Matthew 13? Where it says that she hid 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So we don't want to allow a little bit of leaven to creep in and allow it to affect. You know what? I've said that a few times today, so sorry, I'm getting stuck on that. The hypocrite is more dangerous, in my honest opinion, the hypocrite is more dangerous than the atheist. Think about that for just a second. The atheist comes right out and says, you know, I don't even believe there's a God. By the way, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. That's not even what this lesson is about. But I would much rather have that person in context of what we're talking about than we have someone over here who has all of the Christian verbiage, but down deep is as lost as the atheist is lost, because they're trusting in something besides Jesus to take them to heaven, because they have other false doctrines that they're preaching and teaching. And so this is the doctrine of the Pharisees. It is a doctrine of hypocrisy. Remember, what is going to always be under attack? What did we say? Truth. Okay? Truth is always going to be under attack. And when you mix a little bit of error with truth, it makes it all completely an error. No, we want it to be pure. We want to be pure in our teaching and pure in our life. No one of us is where we need to be yet, folks, okay? Anchor Baptist Church, we've got to work on this. Pastor Turner, you've got to work on this. Dear people of God, you've got to work on this. Watch out. The leaven of the Pharisee is hypocrisy. Okay, now let's go to Matthew 16. Once again, you're in Matthew 16, and let's look at number 2. The Bible says in verse number 6, that then said Jesus unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. The leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So number 2, the leaven of the Sadducees. All right? Now, the Sadducees were a leading religious group. Turn over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. They were a leading religious group. Kind of, to me, a little bit of what I was just saying is going to bleed into this. I apologize. I think I got ahead of me a little bit in some of the things I was saying, but that's okay. I think the application will be clear to you as we continue to make it. Matthew 22, verse 23. The Bible says, the same day came to him the Sadducees. Remember, they are a leading religious group. It says, which say that there is no what? Resurrection. No resurrection. Now, we have a problem. Hello, we have a problem, Houston, as they say. If there's no resurrection, we don't have any salvation. Right? If there's no resurrection, I mean, this whole thing's a mess. We're doing all this live streaming for nothing. Now, we know there is a resurrection, okay? I'm saying that if. So what is the leaven of the Sadducees? The leaven of the Pharisees is what? Hypocrisy. The leaven of the Sadducees is doctrinal error. Doctrinal error. It could be said of them, the Sadducees, that they would be willing to lay aside doctrinal differences so that there could be fellowship. You know, I've had Some people say this, kind of a tongue-in-cheek possibly, but I think they really meant it. You know, doctrine, don't worry about doctrine. Don't worry about that. Let's just all get along, you know. Let's just all work together. And I know we kind of mentioned that in point number one. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and a familiar verse that we need to read from time to time. And I quote it, and sometimes I may leave out a word or two just because of the memory sometimes isn't what it used to be. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 is so important because while we mention truth in number one, remember the doctrine of the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. We need to be men of truth. We need to be women of truth. The doctrine of the Sadducees is doctrinal error. Now, doctrine is so important. What is it? It is learning. It is teaching. It is instruction. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Notice the first word of the verse. What is it? It's the word all. All. That means that we cannot pick and choose which part of the Bible that we're going to obey. We need to obey all of it. We're going to be singing our theme song in the next hour. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. We'll stop right there. The rest of the verse is very important too. But we're thinking about doctrine today. We're thinking about principles from the Word of God that was once delivered. You remember reading that in the Bible? That was once delivered. In other words, Jesus Christ walked the face of this earth in ministry for 3 years. He taught his disciples. He trained his disciples. He started the church. We've been looking at that in the book of Acts, looking forward to getting to Acts chapter 2 in the next hour. Boy, don't miss next hour for all the parts of it. And as we get into the Word of God and we see the wonderful works of the Lord next hour. And so the church was empowered at Pentecost, and Jesus taught his disciples, and that his disciples went out and taught others also, the Bible says. What was it? Jesus was giving them doctrine. He was giving them teaching. And then they took that teaching. Remember, Jesus did not speak to be heard. He spoke to be repeated. And then they took that teaching, and they went to the ends of the world with it, and the Bible says that they helped turn the world upside down. What did they do that with? They did it with doctrine, teaching, taking what Jesus gave them. Remember, the disciples did not have the Word of God like we do today. The disciples did not have, I'll tell you what they did have. They had the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to look at that next hour. And so while they did not have the full canon of Scripture, the 66 books of the Bible, in any language for that matter, they did have the Holy Spirit of God who was leading them to teach and what to teach. And then, of course, the Word of God would come on the scene and so forth. And what I mean by that, in print, the Word of God has been settled in heaven forever. There's always been the Word of God, but he gave that to the holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is doctrine, teaching, discipleship, Sunday school, one-on-one mentoring with the Word of God is important, that we take the truths of the Word of God and we pass them on. Why? Because there are Sadducees in this world. And what are Sadducees? They are, again, people that are teaching error. And if we don't know what truth is, like we looked at, we'll never be able to figure out the error. Here's a statement that I heard recently. We must go beyond believing in believing. I had to really think about that. We must go beyond believing in believing. In other words, here's how I translated that. Do you know if what you believe is true? Well, this is what I believe. Why do you believe it? Well, because this is what I've been taught. All right? Now, that's not necessarily a bad reason. But a better way to say or to know that what you believe is truth is that you can go to the Word of God. Or you would study and find out from the Word of God. Now again, it's not the pastor's job to do your Bible study. That's your job. I'm to Bible study, yes. I'm to prepare, yes. But you're to have time with God. You're to be in the Word of God. You're to be reading it and meditating on it. You don't have to speed read. You can slow it down and read a verse and chew on it a little bit and think about it a little bit. Look up the words if you need to in a concordance or in even a dictionary. And what does this word mean? And what does it mean to me, God? What does this verse mean to me? This verse was written thousands of years ago or so, and yet it's alive for me today. What does it mean today? So truth always goes back to the Word of God. So simply to believe something because you believe it, that's what it means. Go beyond that. In other words, I don't believe it because my dad believed it. See, that's believing in believing. If you believe it because I believe it, that's believing in believing. No. Don't believe anything whether I believe it or not or anybody believes it. You believe it because you know, you've been convinced. Yes, preachers have helped you. Teachers have helped you. Concordances have helped you. The Holy Spirit, most important, has helped you. But you can say with confidence today, I believe whatever it is because right here, it says it in the Word of God. You know, that's what we're striving to do at Anchor Baptist Church now in our 20th year of ministry. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's church, but we're trying to teach people the biblical principles of the Word of God so that when we go out into this world filled with error, even amongst the religious group, we'll know the difference that what we're hearing is right or wrong. Again, do you know if what you believe is truth? So, number one, leaven of the who? Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. It's like wearing a mask, putting on a disguise, sneaking in covertly. She hid the measures of meal. Number two, the doctrine of the Sadducees. Sadducees. Did you ever heard somebody say it that way? That the Sadducees are sad you see? You don't want to be a Sadducee, right? You want to be a joy you see, right? Not a Sadducee. I just came up with that one. Okay, and so that they are in doctrinal error. Then, lastly, number three, the leaven of Herod. Let's look at Mark chapter number 8, please, quickly. Mark chapter number 8. We have about 10 minutes to finish this up, and I think we're going to make it. Mark chapter number 8. Stay with me if you would. Stand up and stretch. That's the beauty, I guess, of being at home. You can stand up and stretch and listen to the Sunday school lesson, and you don't have to nod, get into the land of nod while you're at home, right? And you can stand up and stretch, and I'm thankful for you taking the time, especially Anchor Baptist Church family, for joining us today and being a part of this. Mark 8:15 says, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Herod. What is the leaven of Herod? The leaven of Herod is worldliness. Worldliness. This is a great danger. This is a great danger in the life of the believer. Worldliness. It is very clear to me that the world is not becoming more Christian. Christians are becoming more worldly. And you're going to have to apply this as the Holy Spirit of God challenges you. But I can tell you this right now, that's true in all of our lives to some extent. And that's dangerous, isn't it? We don't want to give place to the enemy. Bible says, neither give place to the devil. I must not allow the philosophy of the world to enter my home. I must not allow the philosophy of the world to enter my heart. As we're thinking about this today, we don't want to allow the philosophy of the world to enter the church. And I wrote this down. The philosophy of ministry that we have must always revolve around holiness. What is holiness? Think about it. God is holy, right? Sinless, pure. Just. And so what we want is, that's what we want. Now, we're not going to be sinless, okay? But we need to strive to be men and women that are humbly, holy, with all our heart, following the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has for us. But you know, the enemy is so smart. The enemy, like this lady in this verse of our text, Matthew 13:33, hides things sometimes. And you know what? If we're not careful, we don't have the right kind of vision. We look at something and we see absolutely nothing wrong with it. And that's because we're blinded. And it's very evident that that is not of the Lord. And we don't need it in our life. Beware of the leaven of Herod. Some would say, let's make the church a little bit more in its appeal to the eye. Let's make it a little bit more an appeal to the ear, right? Let's have a different style of music, or let's have a different style of this or style of that, and even dress in something in some ways. And this would seem like, you know, you think about it. I remember this as a teenager. That was 30 years ago, folks. 30 years ago when I was a teenager. That's a long time ago. And I remember hearing it talked about just here and there that, you know, let's have Christian rock and roll music so that the rock and rollers will get saved. Now you think about that. Why is it that we would say that there is, first off, I don't really believe there is such a thing as Christian rock, that there is that a section of music and people have labeled it that, and so whatever, I'm not a musician, but it's either honoring to the Lord or it's not, right? I don't think you can take something that is rock. When we think of rock and roll, I think of rebellion. When I think of rock and roll, I think of going against the Word of God. I don't think of anything pure. I don't think of anything holy. And so why would we want to take something that has the connotation of rebellion and going against authority and going against God? Why would we want to take that and add some Christian words to it? And ramp up the tune a little bit, the beat a little bit, as we say, and then try to reach people that are in that. No, that's not how we reach people. We don't become like those who are lost to reach them. No, what do? We lift Christ up. What does Jesus say? If you lift me up, what does he say? I will draw all men to myself. No, we don't need to bring down what Jesus is and who Jesus is. We need to keep holding Christ high. We need to keep holding our standards high. We need to hold our love for the Lord high. That's our motive, is loving God. Not bringing the ways of God down so that someone who is lost will appeal. No, that's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is holiness. Look, coming to Christ is not just us getting out of hell. We come to Christ, we're turning our lives over. Now, this is, we don't turn our lives over to be saved, but it's all part of the process. We were created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:10. We'll look at it here in just a minute. Unto good works. So getting saved is not just not going to hell. Getting saved is living for the Lord. Getting saved is getting rid of things and adding things. The Bible tells us that clearly in 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. What does the word separate mean in that? It means this: to set off by a boundary, to limit, to exclude. So where have you placed the boundaries in your life when it comes to the world? How far are your boundaries out? In other words, how far are your boundaries out from, if this is, you know, complete godly living in the middle of my hand, or I'm representing that right now where I'm standing, how far out is the boundary? In other words, how far out will I go toward the world? That's what it means to separate. It means to set, it means to limit, exclude. Look, there are some things that we sang about when we were in the bus ministry. We had this little song: the things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Place I used to go, and so forth and so on. Why? There's been a great change since I've been born again, song says. All right? And so I've got to set some boundaries. Now, again, you're going to have to follow the leading of the Lord, but you're going to have to set some boundaries. You're going to have to limit some things, and you're going to have to exclude some things that were a part of your life before you got saved, before I got saved. This is part of the guarding against the doctrine of the leaven of Herod, if you will. The church must set off by a boundary, must be set off by a boundary and not allow the influence of the world to creep in. Jude, again, certain men crept in unaware. The next generation needs this current generation to keep out hypocrisy. Okay? We need to keep out the leaven of the Pharisee. Let's be real. There's nothing worse than someone who acts a certain way in public and then in private. Now, we all, to an extent, have this issue, okay? We need to limit it. You know, especially we as dads, you know, you act a certain way in front of people, but then in front of your wife and children, you're not the same guy. Let's face it. That's hypocritical. We do one thing to impress, but then this is who we really are. Don't be that way. You know what you're doing? You're training the next generation to be a hypocrite. Folks, get it right. If there's something you need to get it right today. Be who you are. God created you. God saved you. That's where we were going to go to Ephesians 2:10. He saved you and created you in Christ Jesus. We're not just saying we're going to set up all these boundaries and we're not going to be like the world. No, we're going to also be separated unto a person. It's not just saying I'm not going to do. It's I am going to live for God. I am going to do these things. I'm going to add these things. Why? Because we've been created unto good works, Ephesians 2:10. The second generation, the next generation needs this current generation to keep hypocrisy out. It needs it to keep out false doctrine. And lastly, it needs it to keep out worldliness. The only way this is going to happen is if we are doing two things. We got to be on the offense. We got to be on the defense. Defense wins championships, according to some professional sports teams. In the Christian life, we've got to be on the offense. We've got to press toward the mark. But we've also got to be on the defense, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. The leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees, the leaven of Herod. We've got to be on guard to keep the leaven out of our life. And the devil, he'll use every way possible. And he'll try to sneak it in here, sneak it in there. No. Let's be on guard. Be on offense. Be on the offense.